Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Edwige Dantaka has written her first work of fiction in 9 years. Set in a seaside town in Haiti, Claire of the Sea Light unfolds over the course of one evening, during which a father struggles with the painful decision of whether to give away his beloved daughter in the hope she will find a better life with someone else. As the night unfolds, so do the lives and secrets of the men and women who live in the town. It is a delight to welcome Edwige Dantaka to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
I am curious as to what brought you to such a place, to such a heart-wrenching decision.
Well, I first wrote about Ville-Rose, the town that is featured in the book, in a collection of short stories called Cri-Crac, which was published in 1995. And it remained a place that sort of followed me and haunted me. And a couple of years ago, I was watching a documentary about children in Haiti who were in orphanages but had parents. The parents who, being unable to take care of them financially, had turned them over to other people. And Claire just emerged out of watching that, and she just stayed with me for a long time and became the centerpiece of this book.
It is, I guess, somewhat important to note that you and your brother spent a good part of your childhood away from your parents. It would seem that that would have some resonance in writing about this.
Oh, absolutely. When I was 2 years old, my mother moved to the United States. My father moved first, and then when I was four, my mother moved, and we were separated for 8 years. I grew up with my aunt and uncle in a house full of children like me. And so, of course, that resonates. I think in some ways, writing this book was a way to recreate a childhood for myself with my father, who missed most of mine, even though we got a chance to make up for it later on when I joined my parents and brothers in the United States when I was 12.
And you wanted to show that moment of the choice from the perspective of the parent and the child and the potential new parent.
Yes, because I think that choice is sometimes underestimated. It's sometimes misunderstood. The decision, the heart-wrenching decision that a parent has to make to separate from his or her child to give them a better life. I think it's a very difficult choice, and now as a parent myself, a choice that I much better understand. So I wanted to show that choice from all those three different perspectives, from the father who is really wrestling with this decision year after year, and the potential parent, in this book, Madame Gael, who has demons of her own, who is hunted and would like to have a child again, but is not sure she's able to go through all the difficulties, all the, you know, pain, really, of possibly losing another child. And then of the child herself, Claire of the Sea Light of the title, and how she perceives that choice and how she deals with it and all of this in one night.
I do want to ask you about that idea of one night. The main action of the novel all takes place in the course of one evening that Claire goes missing. What made you decide to structure the book that way, of to have it on that very contained period of time?
In many ways, this book is as much about the town of Ville-Rose, fictional town, as it is about Claire and this triangle of a decision. There were so many other stories, different people in the town that we meet across the book, that I wanted to have a structure that was somehow containable. So the decision to make it happen on one night, Claire's birthday, and the anniversary of many other important events in the town, that decision allowed me to have a sort of dramatic frame with which to follow, and a timeline that different people coming from different perspectives with different experiences can have one place to meet. I imagine this book for the reader as someone who comes to the town and finds him or herself on the beach that night with all those characters. So everyone is a visitor, including the reader, and myself, the writer, and others who enter this world, who get an opportunity to see glimpses of it during this one evening.
And it does give you an idea of just how many momentous things can happen in the period of an evening, a value of time, because you have people who are searching for Claire, you have people who are waiting, and you can come back to these different moments where there is assumed tragedy and there is a risk of more tragedy down the line, and there's all these different moments that you can go back to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hear this all the time, that one single moment can change the course of an entire life. And this evening is one of those. And it echoes back to other choices from the past that people in the book have made. But this one, this idea of a moment in time, is something that is very important in the book. And I think it's something that is very laden with possibility for fiction, as in real life, because really in one second, someone's entire life can change. And that's the pin that the book hinges on, whether this moment will change the course of this little girl's life one way or the other, and how that choice is joined to others, because often our choices do not only affect our individual lives, but also affect the lives of others. And so this interconnectedness, the sense of community, this effect of the butterfly's wing effect, if you will, how that echoes through so many lives, is a very important element of this one moment in time that can really change the course of this little girl's history.
You talk about writing it from the perspective of the parent and the child and the prospective parent. As a writer, and given your history, do you take sides at all? Is there one of those parts of the equation that you look at and perhaps have a different view than you would have of one of the others?
I think as a writer, you can't take sides. Even when I'm writing the most horrible characters. In my last book of fiction, The Dewbreaker, I wrote about a torturer. And I really had to get into the character's skin. You have to become like an actor. You have to inhabit this person's being. And so you have particular sympathies. For example, I had a very deep sympathy for Claire. I felt as if she was one of my children. I really grew attached to her. I cared deeply about her. But I also had to exercise that same kind of care for the other characters, because that's the only way you can portray them as real, you know, to understand even the most difficult, the most complex, the most unlikable characters, is how one can portray a three-dimensionality, a kind of full humanity, because none of us are really ever who we seem to be. There are all these elements of people that sometimes reveal themselves based on the urgency of the moment. So I feel like every time I create a character, or a character comes to me, if you will, I have to fully know that character. I have to, in some ways, love them as their mother or father would, whether they're really imperfect, really unlikable, or whether they're the essence of goodness.
Because it's hard not to feel for Claire. It's hard not to be with her in this journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, Claire is in some ways easy in that way. It's very easy to feel for a small child in a difficult situation. So it wasn't as hard to build up a kind of empathy for her. There were characters that were harder to sympathize with, that then one has to work even harder on creating as full people. But Claire, in a way, is a character that came to me fully formed. And even though she has a ghost-like presence in the book, she's very real to me. She's very tangible, almost. I could see her as I was writing. And in many ways, you need to be part of that world. You need to sort of be almost to create the world in your head and just be almost an observer in that world. And of all of the characters, I think the one I wanted to run and hug the most was Claire. But the others I had other sensibilities for as well.
Two aspects when you talk about the structure of the book, two things I want to talk about. One is about the radio. It plays a key part in the events of the book. And you, in some ways, it comes off a bit like a radio show that unfolds in episodes.
Well, that was the initial structure of the book. When I started writing this book, I thought, I want to write a book about the radio because I, frankly, love the radio. And radio is huge in Haiti. It goes throughout the entire country, and it's a medium of entertainment, of engagement, of seeking justice. It's where people who don't have a say elsewhere get their say. So the initial idea for the novel was to write a novel as a radio show with Louise George as our hostess, and every chapter would be an episode of the show, and we'd get a glimpse of this town. So that's how it started. And at the same time, Louise was writing a novel, as she says, a collage à clé about the town. It veered in this different way, but the radio remained a very strong element of the book, and it's an equalizer, a sort of social balance where Louise, on her show, Dis-moi, which is means tell me, allows people to voice their complaints, to ask for justice. So I was happy, even as the book shifted with me, that I was still able to get my part of the radio in, because I it's a medium that I think, because I grew up listening to the radio, you know, we didn't have TV very often. So the radio was where you had radio plays and all these things. And so it's something that I wanted to write about for a very long time, and in this book got an opportunity to do. But the book, you know, if we're getting all meta about it, itself is kind of like a book written by Louise George. So it's not really my book. It's the radio hostess's book.
And she ultimately, it's not lost, she ultimately is trying to write the kind of book that you do write.
Yeah, she's trying to write this book. And in some other world, some fiction universe, she did. She wrote this one.
Edwige Dantica is the author of Claire of the Sea Light. It is a new novel from Knauf. The radio is certainly one part of the structure. It is also very much about the sea. The sea is a character in this book and plays a huge role in the novel.
Yes, I've also always wanted to write about the sea. When we were little, I would leave the city sometimes in the summer and go to Léogâne, which is the town that this fictional town, Villeroy, is based on, one of several coastal towns. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, was living there in a house, not right by the sea, but you could maybe about a 5-minute walk to the sea. And when we would go there, there would always be a story of one of the children nearly drowning, because, you know, we were just sort of, you go to the sea, you don't go deep in if you're not a good swimmer. But there wasn't, you know, you didn't have floaties or anything. You sort of had to figure it out. So I was always intrigued by the sea. I was intrigued by stories of the sea, these journeys. And Cri-Crac, where Villeroy is first introduced, my story collection, there's a story called Children of the Sea, in which I try to, you know, take the characters on a journey by boat from Haiti to the United States. And there's so much also religious tales about the sea. In the book, there's a character, La Sirène, who is the goddess of the sea, who is both seductive and deadly, because if you follow her to the sea, and the fish, you know, the fishing culture for me was always just as intriguing. So it's the sea is definitely a character in the book, as is nature, as is the environment, because also the sea is a wonderful place from which to observe the environment. The fishermen, their predicament as their returns from the sea grows less and less, and as the sea sort of gets more volatile during the season. So it's also a marker of what's happening with the environment in places like Haiti and I'm sure in other overfished villages and coastal towns all around the world.
And of course, you can't take away the impact that the sea has had negatively on Haiti and other coastal communities. Of it can be a beautiful thing, it can be a mysterious thing, but it can also be a terrifying thing.
Yeah, the sea is both friend and foe. I think, you know, starting from the Greek myths and with Neptune and all of, you know, the gods of the sea and all throughout different cultures, there's always that yin and yang, you know, sort of the sea takes care of us, but the sea can also destroy us. And in a place like Haiti, where you're in an island surrounded by the sea, it's a very powerful element of daily life. And it's something that people who live near the sea are extraordinarily aware of. It can be gorgeous to watch as you stand on the cliff, the waves crashing against the shore, but you're also very much aware that it's a very powerful source, that it's something much greater than we are.
And this was a community that, as you mentioned, was something loosely based on where your mother grew up. So you personally did not live or were brought up in a coastal community.
No, I didn't, but we would go certainly to visit, we would go on trips, and the sea was never really far. But the irony of it was that we were surrounded by an island, but we were in an island surrounded by the sea, but there was always this element still of mystery to the sea. So there would be journeys to the sea. And I recently had this experience. I worked on a documentary called Girl Rising, which features little girls around the world. And we worked with a girl in Haiti called Wadley. And Wadley was living maybe 30 minutes from the nearest beach. You know, she was living in the city, but had never been to the sea. So you have that contrast too, a proximity to the sea, but not, for everyone at least, total familiarity with the sea.
Let us get back to Claire for what you just mentioned in that documentary that was on CNN entitled Girl Rising. You met these incredible girls. You have two daughters, one close in age to Claire's. So I assume that has an influence as well.
Absolutely, because as I was writing about Claire, and as I was working with Wadley, spending time with her, I could also see a whole range of girlhood and remembering my own girlhood and having nieces in that age range, the cousins of nieces, and it's just an incredible time. And there's a whole meditation in the book by Madame Gaël, who Claire's father would like to adopt her. She has a whole meditation about girlhood, about what it's like to be a girl. And it's something that's ever changing. But I could see, as I observed my daughter, who was the same age as Claire, and Wadley, this little girl, and other little girls I know, there is a kind of beautiful innocence about it. And you're always watching out for when it will turn, when certain things will suddenly be revealed to them and they'll be different. And it's part of growing up. You know, we all go through it. But there's a kind of journey about it that is extraordinarily fascinating, which is something that I wanted to capture in the book as well, in Claire's development. And of course, a child who has been through so much, who is living in the developing world, who has to have a sense of survival, will be or sound a lot older than another child who's more sheltered, that has an opportunity to experience much of the agony that of a child like Claire, that child will have a whole different mindset. But what I see in all the little girls I know is a kind of empathy that you hope they never lose, a kind of identification with other children in different situations. They're not old enough yet to see themselves as totally other than people like them or than girls like them. So that's also a powerful thing that it's a moment that I wanted to capture, because it's like all parents, you feel like it will slip away. And I felt as much as a parent of Claire as I did a parent of my daughters or an aunt to my nieces. Mm.
And we should note that the book is dedicated to your mother as well as to your two daughters. I was fascinated that I mentioned in the introduction that this is your first work of fiction in 9 years. How much of that was a conscious decision, and how much of it was because of what was going on in Haiti over the last decade, of what has been happening and with the horrible events, as well as just your personal decision of what you want to write?
Well, it wasn't a conscious decision at all. I wrote, I think, the first couple of lines in this book in maybe 2005. And then I went through a period where my uncle died in the custody of the Department of Homeland Security here, and my father was dying, and I became pregnant with my oldest daughter. And so there was a sort of busy period in my life where the reality just would overwhelm the possibility of fiction, where fiction would pale in comparison to what I was actually living. So I started writing a book called Brother, I'm Dying, which then sort of took over my creative life, but also provided an outlet as a way to let all of that out. And then I worked on a collection of essays. And so those books, I felt, came to me. They were not planned. I would have loved to have continued writing fiction, but those books came. And they were wonderful for me because I got to express a lot of things. And when the earthquake came, I was able to put some of my grief and some of what I was thinking in the essays. And then I went back to this book and felt a kind of liberation in writing about a world of my own invention, not having sort of the same limitations, if you will, of nonfiction, which is really about finding a way to tell a story that already exists. I loved doing nonfiction. I felt in a way that I was visiting with my uncle and my father when I was writing Brother, I'm Dying. And when I felt like I was grieving my cousin and the people we lost during the earthquake when I was writing the essays. But this, when I started going back to it, felt very liberating. And it doesn't feel like it's been that long. It doesn't feel like it's been 9 years, because I suppose the story was with me that whole time.
The new novel is Claire of the Sea Light. It is published by Knopf, and it is a gorgeous new novel. Edwige Dantica, I thank you so much for being with us and sharing with us this morning. Great pleasure, as always, to have you on the program.
Thank you, and it's always wonderful to chat with you.
Thank you very much. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.
Love by the wind as it visits again by the whispers of the sea.